Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, let's see what we've got so far. We're dealing, as you know, with the Christian's relationship to human government. These are the instructions given by Peter in his first epistle, inspired, of course, by the Spirit of God. And they parallel very closely the instructions given by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 13 and also in the book of Colossians. We learn that the Christian's submission to civil government is a matter of testimony before a watching world. The Christians will demonstrate their godliness by their submission to human authority. And the word submit here is a very strong word. It is a military term. It has the idea of stationing yourself under or ranking yourself under, arranging yourself in formation under a commander. It is subordination to a superior authority. That, of course, is where the rub comes in, because in American representative constitutional government, there are not supposed to be any superior authorities, but there is a bit of tension between American constitutionalism and biblical teaching in this regard. And we're going to have to decide which is our first responsibility, to obey Scripture or to obey the Constitution. Seriously, it is a problem. It is a dilemma, but we've got to decide where our first responsibility is. And of course, I'm convinced that our first responsibility is to God and to the Bible and to our heavenly citizenship and what the Bible tells us about our activity in regard to our earthly citizenship. And so this is what we've learned so far, and we will continue a little bit further on this Thursday, September 26, which is made possible by the financial gifts of our radio listeners. Well, the scope of civil authority is given to us in the last part of verse 13 and in verse 14, and I now need to read the verses. 1 Peter 2:13, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to the governor, or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." So the scope of civil authority is, first of all, there are supreme rulers, such as kings, and we are required as Christians to be in submission to them, remembering that no king has any human authority except as given by God. If a king has a kingdom, if a king has a throne, if a king has authority, you can be certain that that has been given to him by God. But not only are we to submit ourselves to supreme authority, such as kings, but also to subordinate rulers, governors, and those sent by him, whether we're talking about the governors being sent by the king or governors being under the king and then they sending other servants, other members of government, we are to be submissive to all of these authorities. In other words, from the highest to the lowest, from the, we would say in America, from the White House to the courthouse, and everything in between. Christians should be kind and respectful and generally submissive to all of these authorities. Now, there are some exceptions, and when those exceptions present themselves, we will have to take our stand for God and for truth. But even there, the way we do it makes all the difference in the world as far as our testimony is concerned. And what I'm trying to help you to understand here is that Christians are not supposed to have a chip-on-the-shoulder attitude toward government. Christians are not supposed to live in a constant state of hostility toward government, sort of a seething rebellion against government. Now, I readily acknowledge that that would be my posture if I simply gave in to my Adamic desires. But it is because God's Word requires something different that I rein myself in. I pull myself in check and I say, wait a minute, I cannot act that way, I cannot be that way, I cannot feel that way. That is contrary to the Word of God. And we're told here that the purpose of civil government is to restrain evil. Same thing Paul told us in Romans chapter 13. But that's in verse 14 here, 1 Peter 2:14, to governors as to those who are sent by them for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. It almost sounds like Peter borrowed those phrases from Romans chapter 13. The punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do good. In other words, civil government is given for the purpose of restraining evil and promoting good. To punish the evildoer, to avenge wrongs, and to promote good. And therefore, government becomes God's mercy for fallen man. Now again, part of the problem here is that we tend to, as Christians, to view everything according to, what should I say, a Christian standard of life, and we find so much that falls short in government. Admittedly, we do. Most government officials do not give evidence of following God's word and having the same standards of right and wrong that we do. They don't always have the same concept of restraining evil and promoting good and so forth. But even though this is never carried out perfectly in any society, even in those governments where at various times in history there's been an attempt to have a godly government, godly rulers, a Christian authority, there's always been problems and abuse. That's why our forefathers who founded the United States of America did not want a close relationship between church and state, between religion and government authority, because in Europe, where in so many countries there was a national church and there was a close relationship between government and religion, even the Christian religion, that didn't turn out well. You say, well, that was corrupted Christianity. I know. And what we've got to realize is there is no perfectly pure form of Christianity anywhere. Every expression of Christianity is defective. Every expression of Christianity is somewhat corrupted. So this idea that we should hold rulers to the same standard of Christian conduct that we hold Christians to really doesn't work. Even Christians don't live according to the standards that they ought to. We are continually repenting, continually acknowledging our sins, and continually recognizing problems among Christians, problems in churches, problems in Christian schools and denominations and other Christian organizations. Problems keep cropping up. If those of us who call ourselves Christians and say that we are bound by the Bible can't even patrol ourselves, we can't even get it right in our own institutions, the ones that we control, then what makes us think that we can expect a better performance in civil government? It's not going to be perfect. And there will be times when government will not do a perfect job of restraining evil and promoting good. But in the main, on general, that's what human government's going to do. Even bad governments, I can remember having a conversation with someone many years ago, many, many years ago now. In fact, the person I had the conversation with is now with the Lord. And it had to do with communist governments. And he was having trouble accepting the idea that any communist government could be the will of God and could be good and could fit into the category of what Peter and Paul talk about when they say that government is ordained by God and is for the purpose of doing good and restraining evil. Because in his mind, all communist governments did was promote evil and restrain good. And I said, well, would you rather live under a communist government or live under a place of anarchy where there's no government at all, where there's nothing but mob rule? And of course, those two choices, I don't think it had occurred to him. He was comparing communist government with American government and saying, the American government is so much better than communist government, and everybody ought to have the blessings and privileges of American-style government. Of course, even some Christians are beginning to realize that that may not necessarily be so today, but that's what he was comparing it to. But I said, well, I'll tell you the truth. When it comes to communist government or no government, I'll pick communist government every time. I would hate to live in a society where there is no government to restrain murderers, to restrain rapists, to punish evildoers, let people rob and rape and kill and maim and riot unrestrained. Communist governments do a pretty good job of reining those things in. In fact, they often do a better job than democratic governments. They don't let those things run loose in society. If you behave that way, you are going to be severely punished. And so there's often less of that type of crime in communist governments than in democratic-style governments. Often that is the case. Now, their justice may not be ideal, and they may sometimes punish people who aren't even guilty. Of course, that happens everywhere, as we know. Justice systems, even in under the best of condition, don't always get it right. We live in a sinful, fallen world, and so even the best institutions controlled by the best of men still make mistakes, still get it wrong, and yet in spite of all of that, with all of that being true, we find the Apostle Peter, we find the Apostle Paul, giving us the same instructions and telling us that we are to submit ourselves to civil government and to recognize that civil government is there to restrain evil and to promote good. And that is exactly the case. I'd rather live in a country with a strong dictator who does not allow people to riot and rob and kill and rape unrestrained, but will keep that in check. I'll feel a whole lot safer for me and my family in that society than in one where there is no government, where mob rule carries the day. That doesn't work. People don't govern themselves. They need government. They need to be restrained. People are lawless. People are sinful. They need civil government to tell them what they can and cannot do, and to punish evildoers and to reward those who do good. And government serves a very important function in society. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.